There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, hour number two, and we are live at the Dumbwaiter special lunchtime event here, for open for the first time in 4 years. Wes Lambert, the proprietor, also on the ballot tomorrow for AL1, hanging out with him. And I'm telling you right now, this is torture. As I was, I've got right now in front of me the open-faced pot roast sandwich here at the Dumbwaiter, which I've had enough of to know it's fantastic. But now we're back on the radio, and so I get to look at it for another 10 minutes before I can take another bite. Although my buddy Scott Bannon, director of Alabama Marine Resources. If you'll be very long-winded, I can eat some of my sandwich as I listen to you talk some snapper with me.
Well, Sean, I can tell fish stories all day long, I guess. So go ahead and eat your sandwich.
Good. No, I do want to, if y'all didn't hear the update that just ran from our news partners at WKRG, news out for snapper season this year, and the man with all the knowledge on that is this man right here, Scott Bannon. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being on. It's been too long.
Anytime, Sean. I'm glad to be here, hopefully, with what's good news for the anglers of Alabama.
Yeah, so lay it on us. So this year's snapper season, how's it laying out? What's going to happen?
All right, so this year, we're going to start a little early. For the last few years, we started June 1st. Well, the people that like to go fish, there's been some discussion about, hey, could we ever get Memorial Day weekend? And now that we're under full-time state management, we're going to answer that request to the public, and we're going to start Friday, May 22nd, which is the Friday of Memorial Day weekend, which felt a little weird this year because it almost looks two weekends early. But June 1st is a Monday, so Memorial Day fell the weekend early. And we're going to do something different that the people of Alabama wanted, is we're going to include Mondays. So we're going to do four-day weekends, Friday 12:01 a.m. till 11:59 p.m. on Monday night, running from May 22nd all the way through to we're going to end on a Sunday, July 19th at midnight. We'll close. That's 35 days is what our estimates show that we can fish this year. We have a pounds of 1.12 million pounds to catch. So we're going to do our best to ensure that we get to catch as many of those as we can.
Yeah, and I want to talk about the weekends of the fish. But I think for a second, for people that haven't heard you talk about this before or our conversations in the past, explain to them you have a total allowable catch and then how y'all are tasked here in Alabama with allocating that. I mean, it's there's some math to this.
There is. So the allowable amount for the entire Gulf of Mexico is still provided from the federal government. The National Marine Fisheries Service says this is how many pounds of fish can be caught in the Gulf of Mexico. Through the help of our senators and congressmen up in Washington, D.C., and then our state delegations across the Gulf, we came to some agreements on how much each state is going to be allocated, and so that we could move to state management. And so Alabama's percentage is 26.2% of that total allowable catch. So we are 3% of the Gulf Coast, and we have 26.2% of the catch. So I think it worked out in our favor. And so we're given that percentage of the catch each season, and we can decide what days we want to be open. And now we can even actually change the bag limit and size limit. We're going to be very, very careful about making those type changes. But we can change the season to match the needs of the anglers in Alabama, as long as we don't exceed that 1.12 million. If we do, there's a payback function, and so we have to make an adjustment in the next season. But our goal is to manage it very, very close to that.
Yeah, so people need to understand that we're talking about tonnage, not individual fish. I think people that are recent to this and new to this maybe get confused sometimes about that. So we have a total tonnage, and then you have to figure out the average weight, right, of the snapper we're catching.
We do, and it varies from season to season, but the last few years it's around between 7 and 8 pounds, so it's a good-sized fish, and that's the average across the board from our survey staff. So you'll see our survey staff at the boat ramps. We'll continue with that, where they wear these light blue shirts, and they ask you a few questions about your trip, and that's how we validate the landings. And then we use the snapper check program that is a requirement for anyone landing red snapper in Alabama to go into the snapper check program and report their fish. It takes less than 30 seconds, and then we use that to watch the season. And like we did last year, we have planned a season, and the weather got a little rough a few days, and so the number of pounds that were caught on some of those weekends were dramatically reduced. So we added those days to the end of the season. So if that happens this year, we can monitor it through snapper check, and we can decide if there's enough left to do additional days and choose when those days will be.
Yeah, I think it's worth, and if you're just joining us, talking to Scott Bandon, Director of Alabama Marine Resources, and for people to understand, the snapper check and you said the validation is the reason why we have the seasons we have now, right? I mean, you have to make a case to the federal government to be able to have the state management.
We did. We had to show that we had the ability to monitor how much catch was coming into Alabama. In snapper check, is an easy online smartphone app that makes it very usable for any angler to go on and report their fish, and we get a real-time accounting when they do that. We still have paper boxes that we're going to allow for this year at a few public access boat ramps, and we'll collect those, but the majority of the data comes through that app, and it allows us to make in-season decisions. Again, if it looks like we need to add days, we'll add days. If we're concerned that we're going to exceed our catch, then we can reduce the days. And we had to do that in 2018 because of the weather and the amount of effort. But we can control that effort much better using snapper check. So it's a vital part of what we do. And this year we added the Gulf Refish Endorsement. And that's to help fund the research that goes on out there that's done by some of the finest scientists in the Gulf here at the Dauphin Island Sea Lab and the University of South Alabama. And we're able to fund that research to show that the impacts that we have on the artificial reef zone off the coast of Alabama are manageable through the system that we're using. So that's new this year, and so people have to have that Gulf Refish endorsement. It's $10 for the private angler for a year.
Okay, so yeah, we get that, and they can do it. I mean, I guess they can do it in person. I know you can do it online, right?
Yes, they can go outdooralabama.com/licenses, same place where they buy their fishing license. And it's a requirement for anybody that's 16 or older, even if they have a lifetime license, a disabled license, or if they're over the age of 65. And it helps us define the number of anglers, and that also goes towards that management plan to say, this is the type of participation we have. And we've had some disagreements with the federal numbers in their surveys. In this last year, we managed about 1 million pounds in last year's red snapper season. The federal government said we caught 5 million pounds, and that's not a number that is possible for us to achieve with the amount of boats that they said that went. It's not physically possible in Alabama, so we feel very strongly that our system is much better and giving the anglers a much better opportunity to go fishing.
Yeah, I mean, local is always better and more focused on what goes on here. That, once again, circling back, people had not heard of the Gulf Reef Fish Endorsement. That's required if you're going to fish reef fish, right? I mean, it's not
red snapper. That's correct. It's any reef fish. And the one that can get a little confusing for people is the gray snapper, which are mangrove or black snapper. It has a multitude of names because you can catch those inside in Mobile Bay. Usually they're juveniles over in Perdido Pass. They can be a little bit larger. But using any reef fish, if you're fishing for them, groupers, snappers, amberjack, then you have to have that Gulf Reef Fish endorsement. And that money is specifically set aside to help us with the research that goes on in the Alabama artificial reef zone.
So mangrove snapper are under that. So if somebody is fishing, they're fishing a gas rig in Mobile Bay, and they catch a legal-sized mangrove snapper and want to retain it, they will have to have a Gulf Reef Fish endorsement.
That is correct.
But if they're fishing speckled trout or redfish or something like that, they wouldn't have to.
They wouldn't have to. There are people that you know, that target nothing but those inshore species, and they can make a decision if they catch a mangrove or gray snapper, if they want to retain it or not, or go ahead and buy the $10 endorsement.
All right. Just joining us, talking to Scott Bannon, Director of Alabama Marine Resources, once again laying out the snapper season for this year. So it starts here the days before Memorial Day, and you said July 19th. So that, to me, seems like we do make it through the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo.
That is the final day of the rodeo, and that is a very large red snapper landing weekend. They're, you know, it's the largest angling tournament in the country. About 5,000 anglers go, so it's hard to disregard that weekend, because there, whether it was open or not, there will be a lot of what we call dead discards. So if we can make it through that weekend, it helps that we retain those fish and we account for those fish being caught. So I'd rather the anglers catch the fish than discard the fish, and so the days worked out really well to start on a holiday weekend and then end on that big fishing weekend.
What about the other, some of those, say, the more ubiquitous reef species? Let's talk about what are the regulations this year for amberjack and triggerfish?
Okay, so triggerfish just opened on March the 1st, and it is an option to report in snapper check. Next year we're looking to make that and amberjack mandatory. And the only reason that we want to make those mandatory is the benefits that we've seen from red snapper, we think we can apply those to those two precious species of triggerfish and amberjack. So it opened March the 1st. It's going to close May the 2nd. And because we do share the same federal season, that's the dates that the federal government established, and then we match that. And then amberjack will open later in the fall. It's going to open in August, and it is a split season. That is the beginning of the fishing year for amberjack. And one of the discussions that we've had in-house, similar to what we did last year, is if we have red snapper left over at the end of the season, is we'll possibly open up during amberjack season so you can have a multi-species trip, because that is one of the other items that we hear from anglers, is the opportunity to have multi-species trips.
Well, that's what I was angling towards, is, you know, that's the question that we're all trying to figure out, is, hey, you know, once you run the 15, 20, 25, 35 miles, 40 miles offshore to go out, if you're snapper fishing, it's you might as well, while you're out there, you know, it used to be we'd go target multiple species and not have to make another trip. You burn the same amount of gas, you know, whatever you do. And so I think there's a lot of people want to get back to that kind of system.
And that's true. And so the couple of things that we heard from the last 2 years under the exempted fishing permit, and now we're under a full-time state management plan, is people would like to see more weekdays, and so we're trying to answer that. Some people wanted to see the Memorial Day weekend when people are already traveling and coming to the Gulf to get an opportunity to fish. And then the multi-species concern. And so we were able to do it in August last year. We potentially may be able to do it again this year for the amberjack. And as we look forward, we have the ability to open earlier in the year. This year we had to wait for the state management rule to become permanent through the federal government, and so that was just did that in January. So next year we can open anytime from January 1st through December 31st. We decide what we think is best for the anglers of Alabama. So we've had discussions of as we affectionately refer to the group of the snowbirds. They have a concern that they would like an opportunity to fish, and so that's a possibility now that we're under full-time state management.
There we go. All right. This is good to get in this conversation. It's got me already daydreaming about later May and getting to go snapper fishing. And I'm going to have to go clean the leaves out of the boat now.
Yeah, that's usually the biggest problem. And when you run the boat on the hose, it runs fine. And then when you first put it in the water, it seems to change its mind.
This is why you and I get along, because you speak real people language. Director of Alabama Marine Resources, Scott Bannon, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on with us today.
No problem. Thanks for the opportunity to share this good news.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And we'll talk more about this coming up this weekend, as we'll be at the Mobile Boat Show Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, by the way, and Saturday, too, we do our special two-hour live FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. We being, there's no mouse in my pocket. It's my buddy Mike Ward and I and a whole bunch of guests. We'll be live on the radio, hour one. Hour two will be a Facebook Live event. We'll talk more about that coming up. All right, coming right back. We're live at the Dumbwaiter on this Super Tuesday Eve.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, we're back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Super Tuesday Eve. And we are live at the Dumbwaiter along with the owner, Wes Lambert, candidate for AL1, and a Super Tuesday lunch on a Monday here. All right, Wes, I'm having the open face pot roast sandwich, which is incredible. But you got a bunch of other items here for the lunch menu.
We do. And we kind of took what we do already, so we just put a little spin on it for lunch. But the, of course, the burger we have, the blackened chicken sandwich we used to carry a lot for lunch. But the other one I like is the, besides the pot roast, is the steak sandwich. So
Now I'm ready for the steak sandwich.
You're ready for the steak sandwich. So it's the French dip, but it's actually, the dip is actually our French onion soup that we dip it in.
Nice.
So it's fine.
I tell you what, but this pot roast, and this is the pot roast y'all have in the evening.
We have
right?
in the evening, yes, sir.
But it's on the open face.
Yeah,
lunch
in the evening it comes with mashed carrots.
Oh, it's good. Let's talk about it. If people have not eaten here before, mm-hmm. and you got the elevator talk. You're right. You got one of two things. They're going to say, Wes Lambert, you're running for office. Wes Lambert, you have the dumbwaiter.
Right.
Okay. The dumbwaiter speech. What are you about?
We're about local food, local source food, a lot of it. You can't always get all your local foods.
But if you can,
we do. But I think just consistency has set us apart from so many other places. We'll be open 5 years this month.
Congratulations.
So I appreciate it.
That's awesome.
But I think the biggest thing with me is consistency. When you come here one time and you love it, I want you to come back the next time and it's better.
Right.
So you never want to step back, and because when you step back, people quit coming.
Yeah. Well, your reputation precedes you,
so
for
we
sure.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a lot of hard work, but it's fun. I've enjoyed it. Never in the restaurant business, but just felt like downtown Mobile needed a place like us when we built it.
It's almost like being is committed to like a radio station.
It is.
I've watched from the outside. Never worked in the restaurant mm-hmm. business. Have friends that do, and I was like, "Holy cow!" It's true businessman. Where I mean, you're doing things that deal with food at the same time
right.
you're doing administrative.
Right.
You're doing front of the house. Back
yeah.
Of the
you
house.
Never know who's not going to show up that day.
Yes.
So you could be cooking. You could be doing dishes. You're doing whatever, serving.
I understand
hosting.
That from the other side. Yes, hosted as well. Okay, let's talk about tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Super Tuesday. You've been running this campaign here for AL1 in the Republican primary. What are your main takeaways from what you've heard? What are people asking you? What can you offer people answers to those questions?
You know, the biggest issues we hear are infrastructure and it's health, for
okay.
sure.
You talk a lot of you've talked more health, I think, than any other candidates.
And I do that because we offer health insurance here. So I see the federal regulations put on us, put on the people that work for me. And just what they go through being single moms or you know, a single person themselves, what they have to pay, and it's not right. fair.
So how do we do that? How you know, we always it's easy to say free market, and I agree with you. I'm for free market, but what does that look like for healthcare?
I think it just opens up the borders where we can go across, and hopefully you don't have that monopoly you have to deal with anymore. And I was told the other day that Blue Cross in the state of Alabama made $4 billion in profit last year.
$4 billion in profits. Now, if somebody, but here's the thing, I will celebrate when people make profits.
Yeah.
And if they did it in a openly competitive market, I'd say good on them.
Right.
Let me buy some stuff.
Exactly. But when it's a closed market, I mean, it's not fair to us.
But people get upset that, oh, well, you know, here Apple made four, but well, Apple's got competition. Mm-hmm. They're just winning
their
game.
So they did it, yeah. But
and
when
I
you don't
know
have competition, it's... The only place you can go is Blue Cross, pretty much.
There are some other, but I think they're almost there for show.
Mm-hmm.
And different counties, some places that, in some states, I guess, other companies have more of the share of the market.
Correct.
Here it's Blue Cross Blue Shield. So what, I mean, it would look like that we could
they're
go
90%
buy.
90% at least of the market.
Yeah. Oh, I think you're being very
that'd be like
fair.
Me being the only restaurant downtown.
Right. I mean, be a nice business model.
But it doesn't happen.
So how do you change that when you go to Washington?
You've got to get on the Energy Committee to start with. But I think from there, you've just got to work with the other side to understand that we need to save our constituents, their constituents, and America money. And it comes with, you know, and for instance, one of the ladies that works here, she had Obamacare. She made more than the allotted amount they were going to bill her $10,000 on her income tax because she made more money than Obamacare wanted her to.
But so, yeah, and now we get this disincentive like other places in government to a disincentive to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Because this thing kicks in or this thing. It's, yep. It's easier not to go out and get that other job or that higher paying job, mm-hmm. because it puts you over a threshold.
Put you
now
over
you
got to
pay more money.
Correct.
So you have been since the get-go. You've been talking about the healthcare side, mm-hmm. of this more than the other candidates. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more with you on different issues,
yes,
here,
thanks, sure,
to your platform as we get ready for Super Tuesday tomorrow by having lunch at the Dumbwaiter downtown Mobile. First time in how many years?
4 years.
4 years. Have y'all been waiting for 4 years? Today's your day. Come on out and I'd say get the pot roast, but there's a lot else on the menu, but get the pot roast.
Yeah.
And get the pot roast. All right. Be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, and we are live at the Dumbwaiter. What a treat this is. Open for lunch here on this Super Monday, Super Tuesday Eve. I get out with Wes Lambert, candidate for AL1 in the Republican primary, but also the owner here at the Dumbwaiter. You said 5 years for this?
5 years this month.
And you didn't come out of a restaurant background.
I did not. I'd never been a server or a cook. I just felt like we needed something like us in Mobile and had a dream, and so far it's worked out. I've been blessed every day.
It's been awesome. I mean, that's what everybody wants, right? Mm-hmm. That's what this country is about.
It's what it's about.
How do you, if elected and you go to the House, how do you make it easier for people to do what you did? I mean, business is always business, but how do you get government out of the way?
I think it takes working with both sides, like I said before, to get them out of your life, hopefully totally.
Right.
And a lot of our issues.
Right.
But it's all about taking that chance and being able to take it if it doesn't work. I mean, if it doesn't work, it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Right.
But if it does work, it's the American dream, like you said. And that's where I've been blessed.
You know, and I think most people go into it knowing that they've got the challenges of a competitive marketplace. Mm-hmm. But the other part of it, though, is government regulation on this, government regulation,
correct,
on that. Sometimes it seems like at a state level and sometimes a federal level that there are walls set up to prevent new people getting in the game. It's like the last person got in, they said, make that wall higher.
Yep.
We don't want anybody else in this business.
We had an issue when we were building this out where the fire department, and we love them, of course, but they wanted me to add another door in the side wall over here, and I told them it couldn't happen.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
It's things like that that have, where they have the regulations, the federal labor standards are out there, the health department has theirs. So it's getting everybody on the same page and being able to work with you to open a business. But the second thing you do, you got to put a team together that you trust.
Right.
And you believe in to get you to the point you are today.
I'm enjoying this conversation, and I'm enjoying doing it here at your restaurant. People can come out. Will y'all open normal hours for dinner?
Normal hours are 5 to 9:30 Monday through Saturday.
All right. Let's do this. We're going to shift. I know we're talking a lot about AL1, but can we talk some Senate?
I'd love to.
All right. Let's do this. This is an interview I did earlier today because imagine, like all these folks are very busy today, but we got Congressman Bradley Byrne to join us to talk a bit about his push to get you to vote for him tomorrow in the Senate Republican primary. Here's that conversation from earlier. And joined now by AL1's Congressman and candidate for U.S. Senate, Bradley Byrne, joining us now on Midday Mobile. Thanks for your time.
Sean, it's great to be with you again. Big day before Election Day.
It's the eve, right? Super Tuesday Eve, or we kind of started calling it Super Fat Tuesday, coming up tomorrow. I want to start off with that because, of course, I want to talk about the campaign and let you make your case to the voters. But let's talk about the turnout and what, you know, I look at this and I wonder about turnout, and maybe people feel on the Republican side that, hey, President Trump is fine. He's going to get reelected. I don't have to show up.
Well, they do need to show up because he's got an opponent, and we don't need for that opponent to get any votes or many votes. We need to overwhelm him with votes for President Trump. We also have my race on the ballot, U.S. Senate race on the ballot, the congressional primary, and AL1s on the ballot. Got an important constitutional amendment on the ballot, and all these people are running for Trump delegates places too. So there's a lot of reasons for people to come out and vote, and I hope they will.
Yes, other than just the general opposing Bill Weld, which you and I agree on.
we can agree on that one. And let's talk about that, and specific here in this Senate race. Gosh, you and I have been talking about this a long time, Congressman Burnham. I know it's on the calendar. It's been a long time, but actually, I mean, from your perspective on the campaign trail and us talking, this has been it's been a long campaign.
Well, you know, I announced a year and 2 weeks ago, so I've been at this for a little over a year. But I'm glad, at this point, I'm really glad I started early, because what we've been doing the last several days is working with our volunteers. We've organized this very well. Over the weekend, our volunteers made 40,000 phone calls, and they're going back at it this afternoon.
Wow.
So nobody else in this campaign has got that sort of grassroots support. I just left a big meeting in Huntsville with our key supporters up there, and they've already got it all organized about how they're getting people to the polls and making sure that everything's set up for tomorrow. So having that grassroots infrastructure in place that takes a long time, a lot of work to put in place, really paying off right now.
I got to guess that it was probably maybe a little heavier of a lift to get that in place in places like North Alabama. Down here at home, you already had that and had the name recognition. But, yeah, you've spent a considerable amount of time talking to folks in North Alabama.
Yeah, we've spent by far more than a majority of my time in Birmingham North. And people didn't know me in that part of the state. So it was important for me to be in that part of the state. And it's paid off. And, you know, you don't do it once. You have to do it over and over and over again. We've been to some places, like we just left Huntsville. We've been to Huntsville 20 times. So that shows you the importance that we place on that part of the state. Now, one thing we got going in Alabama, you got some people way up in the northern part of the state that feel like they've been ignored, and people in our part of the state or over in Dothan feel like they've been ignored. We need to make sure we tell everybody, I want to be the senator for everybody and every place in Alabama, not this place or that place.
No, that's for sure. Also, I want to talk about, as we look at tomorrow and Election Day, we talk turnout for a second. Let's talk about some of the polling. And listen, I know there are a lot of polls out there, but one takeaway that I've seen is the number of undecided voters. Now, I don't know the exact, I looked at the methodology. I don't know the exact questions that may elicit more undecided questions than others. But your pitch to those people that are still here on this Monday, still undecided. What's your pitch to those? I mean, that number's been as high as 30% undecided.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if it was higher than that. So, and we run into those people all the time who are still trying to make up their minds. So here's what I tell them. People in Alabama are looking for somebody that's going to go to Washington as their senator and fight for them. It's actually going to work like crazy and fight for them. I have a proven track record of doing that. I support the president 97% of the time in my votes in Congress. I stood up for him last fall and fought hard for him in his impeachment fight. He recognized that by inviting me along with about a dozen other Republican House members to the White House 2 weeks ago to personally thank us on national television what we did for him. So I'm the proven conservative fighter that people are looking for.
All right. As they make that decision tomorrow, talk to folks that... You're talking about supporting the president. And you know what? There's not a person, I don't think, that's running in this Republican primary for Senate that doesn't say they support the president. Your case is what? That you're actively doing it, or you do a better job at it? Or, I mean, what? You'll all support the president. Why you?
Because of all the people running this race, I'm the only one not just talking about doing it. I'm doing it. Now, we know that Senator Sessions didn't stand up with the president at the key time when he was attorney general. So you say you're for the president, but when you're not there when the president needs you, that shows where you really are. Then the case of Tommy Tuberville, just a few months ago, and you know, this is on television right now, they got a video of him. He gets in front of a group in North Alabama and says, I'm pissed off at Donald Trump because he's not taking care of veterans, and he's letting all these illegal immigrants get all these benefits. Well, that's just not true. And he's saying he's angry at the president at the time, and the president's actually making progress on those things. So it's one thing to get on there and say, I support Donald Trump, but when you walk off the field when he needs you, in the case of Jeff Sessions, or when you're out there criticizing him without any real basis, in the case of Tommy Tuberville, you're not supporting the president. I'm the one who's been supporting the president and fighting like crazy doing it.
Speaking of your support for the president, I know we're talking Senate right now, election day tomorrow, but for a second, in capacity as our representative from AL1, you put in case you missed it, note up on Twitter the other day that President Trump was talking with the CEO of ArcelorMittal about some further investment here in the Calvert plant?
Yeah. Apparently, when the president was in India, he ran into the president of ArcelorMittal, and that president of ArcelorMittal told him about their investment in the plant in Calvert. And the president, you know, lit up, because that's his thing, trying to get more companies to invest back here in the United States and create more jobs. So that's on the president's agenda. He thinks it's a great thing. I hope that we'll hear more out of the president about that.
Yeah, it was interesting, and it's funny how a conversation truly half a world away was happening about a place right here in Southwest Alabama. I don't know. I just think it's neat. It's an international discussion of what goes on right back home. Congressman Byrne, candidate, of course, for Alabama Senate, and you've got tomorrow polls open at 7. Your last chance to talk to people here today and tomorrow. Once again, what do you tell them? I mean, I mentioned the question about why to get out to the polls. People say, well, you know, it seems like it's all a shoe-in, we're good to go, but you point out there's a lot of reasons to come out tomorrow and vote.
Well, at this point, we're talking to undecided voters, but we're also talking to decided voters and saying, please don't forget to go vote. So we're doing both things at the same time. We're persuading undecided voters here at the very end, and at the same time, we're pushing the people we know supporters to get out and vote tomorrow. In some parts of the state tomorrow, we're going to have some pretty bad weather, so that turnout is going to be important, and we've got to make sure that we have that infrastructure working tomorrow to get those people to the polls.
Yeah, well, I don't get me started on that. It could be a tropical storm. People will still go get go out and get dinner or go get a case of beer. So don't start with me on not voting. I got no patience for that. I got zero patience for the not voting because of weather. But that's just me, Congressman. I'm sorry, that's not you.
Well, I mean, you know, the Secretary of State John Merrill said that we're looking at 30-35% turnout. Which is,
you think that's about right?
Higher, but
yeah, that number concerns me. It really does. I thought in this cycle it would be higher.
Well, I think it will be much higher in the fall. I just think because we don't have a pitch battle with the president in Alabama right now, that people in Alabama aren't as hyped up as in other places. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen in the Democratic primary in Alabama. You got Bloomberg spending money here. You finally got some of the others to start to spend money here. We'll see how strong Bernie Sanders is among Democrats in Alabama, how strong Biden is, how strong Bloomberg is. We'll see who's going to get the votes in Alabama, but we need Republicans to turn out and vote tomorrow, too.
Seems like, speaking of the Democrats and speaking of our Democrat Senator Jones, he's been talking a lot the last 2 days about Joe Biden. It seems like he may be considering his next move.
Well, he endorsed Joe Biden early.
Right.
I guess they're friends through past things politically.
He said he'd been friends for a long time, yeah.
And so, he tied his horse to Biden. We'll see what comes of all that. I don't know after South Carolina whether Biden's got any real traction or not. We'll know, when we get all the returns in from all the Super Tuesday states tomorrow.
That is for sure. All right. Remind folks in this last minute. You said you're talking to undecided voters and also reminding your voters to come out to the polls. Any information they need about your campaign, question, anything you've got, where they go online, what's the best thing to do?
They go bradleybyrne.com, BRADLEYBYRNE.com.
All right. We'll check it out. Congressman Bradley Byrne, candidate for Senate, thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us, and best of luck tomorrow.
Thanks, Sean. We'll be talking.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We're going to run to a news break here, and then we're coming back to wrap it up. We are live at the Dumbwaiter, and it is Super Tuesday Eve, and we're hanging out here. The first time they've been open for lunch in 4 years, and it's fantastic. I ought to do this more often, like every day. I don't know if Wes Lambert's listening to me right now, but
do it every day. Hey, let's do this. As we head to the news here, I've got your chance for win them before you can buy them tickets. So Jake Owen is bringing down the Tiki Tonk Acoustic Tours, coming to the Sanger Theater on Sunday, March 15th. Tickets on sale this Friday. Or you know what? You can win them right now if you are caller number 6 at 343-0106, 343-0106. Caller 6, the tickets are yours, and good luck.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And we are live at the Dumbwaiter, and we are enjoying lunch and getting ready for tomorrow. Not like this man, whose night will not end as he heads off and starts putting up signs at a certain distance away from polling.
Yeah, what is it, 50 feet?
I think it
maybe
is 50
from the door.
Feet. That is Wes Lambert, running for Republican side on AL1 in the primary. You know. And yeah, that man who's, you've been here, I'm impressed. I'm going to say this, I'm impressed. You've got my attention. We talked a lot in my studio, but now I came to your side and to watch you work. And realize you're running for office at the same time you're doing the stuff that all of us in business do. I watch you work. I'm impressed. Well,
yeah,
done.
And the reason, I mean, I've got 30 families that depend on me, 30 plus families.
Wow.
And I have to work. I love working, and yeah. I love the people that work for me, and I owe them that much.
That's something. You've said that before. Mm-hmm. That you think about the families that depend on
that depend on me. Mm-hmm. And win or lose, I'll be here Wednesday.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
I still have
that's
a job.
Right.
And I still have the families that work for me.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, it's not an individual, it's a family. Because,
yeah.
You know, all of them, they'll come in, they'll eat, they'll spend time, and,
yeah.
You know, we go do stuff. And so it's kind of fun.
It is good stuff. And it, and I think that's, but that shows the importance of, and we can pull out every metric on how many people are employed by small business versus big business.
Correct.
In the country, and small business definitely lion's share. Mm-hmm. We just don't lobby as well as some of the big business because we're all in our different businesses. But I mean, you have those, that many people depend on you, mm-hmm. from you risking capital and doing this, and that's
correct.
It's a message that ought to resonate more in Washington. Whether somebody, you know, you talking about running Washington like a business, I don't know if that's ever going to be possible, but at least getting the message out that there are Americans that are risking capital, doing things, business folks that seem to be pilloried by the left,
mm-hmm.
are why there's jobs.
Right.
For the majority of my life, I've had a job because somebody else risked capital, mm-hmm. and gave me a job.
And gave you a job. And that's the whole thing. And like I told you before, we've put in since 15, roughly $12 million back into our economy here in Mobile and Baldwin County. So through charity,
wow.
organizations, through, of course, sales tax, payroll tax, and so forth. So,
wow.
So that's a lot of money, you know, just out of our size.
Yes, that's some
restaurant.
Folding cash. That is definitely folding cash. Well, that's also, so once again, you have your chance to talk to folks before they wake up tomorrow morning and go, oh, yeah, it's Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday, it's going to rain.
Yeah, don't get me started. You heard me ripping around with Todd Stacey. I think it's no excuse. Not to go full American flag in the background waving as I say this, but we can go the serious side and those men and women who died,
mm-hmm.
for that right. Then we can just go regular people and go away from that and say, really? You got time to go, you know, go do something stupid, you know, with an hour or so, but you don't have time to go vote?
To go vote.
Come on. What stupid
You're
thing
for
have
your
you
liberty,
spent?
And that's what we're blessed with living in America,
yes.
is our liberties.
And also, you don't get to complain if you don't vote. Remember the rule
exactly.
on my show. If you did not vote, you can shut up.
Mm-hmm.
You can shut up. So, y'all go vote.
And the other thing I always want to mention to you was the census coming out.
Yes.
Please, it's very important for people to fill that out. If we lose a seat in Washington, it's going to cost us millions in federal money.
We have 38% failure to fill out in the last census.
Yep, 38%.
Okay, y'all think about that. The chance of losing a congressional district, that means there won't be 7. There will be 6. And there will be, obviously, less voice in Washington for us and less money coming in from back to Alabama.
Back to Alabama.
I'm glad you brought that up. Mm-hmm. Because I bring that up a lot, and then I think, well, nobody else is worried about that same stuff. I'm intensely worried about us losing.
I mean, if we lose that seat, that's going to cost us not only till the next census, but probably past that. as well because of the money we lose.
How will we make it up when the population shift would have to be? And we can talk about how they're allocating votes and representation. I'm with the Attorney General in the lawsuit out there. Mm-hmm. I believe in what he's suing over. But if he doesn't win, how are we ever going to get it back?
I don't think we do. Not in our lifetime, anyway. Yeah,
that's for sure. Thanks for having us out.
Appreciate it. I enjoyed it.
As did I.
Yes, sir.
And everybody
go vote tomorrow.
Yes. Yes. And if you have a chance at getting sometime in the future, well, you can come get the roast beef, the pot roast, any time in the evenings. But if you ever get it sandwich style, y'all take him up on that.
Yeah.
It's Wes Lambert, dumbwaiter. Thank you, man.
Thank you.